What's going on, everybody? This is Jerome Moore, host and creator of Deep Dish Conversations. And firstly, I want to say thank you for all love and support, and thank you for exploring the perspectives of social change with me on this platform. I want to encourage you all to like, subscribe, and follow us on YouTube and on your favorite podcast listening platform. And make sure you give us a 5-star rating if you're loving the Deep Dish Conversations. I appreciate all of the support again. I hope you all enjoy this episode. What's going on, Michael, man? Welcome to the platform. How you doing?
Man, appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
Nah, man, I'm glad to talk about, you know what I'm saying, your reverence, bourbon, your story, your background, and what this means for the community, man, what this means for the city of Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah, man, gotcha. So I'm not a big drinker like that.
Okay.
So I'm expecting you to give us some history around bourbon. You know what I'm saying? A little bit. And for people who may not just be heavy drinkers,
okay,
in general, like, you know, the process on how you get your product too.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, man, just give us a little background about, you know, we know you're from Memphis.
Yeah.
You know, and in that transition here to Nashville, and we'll start from there.
Okay, so I moved to Nashville 2011 to come here to go to school. Go to TSU.
Okay.
Graduated 2014 with a bachelor's, and then I ended up going back in 2017 to get my master's. So once I graduated, I got my degree in exercise science. So I got a job working with Metro Parks right out of undergrad. And so I was doing that for about 5 years, got my master's in between that time. And so I always had this vision, like, you know, I always wanted to do more than just work, you know, mm-hmm. like, you got to be something bigger than working this 9-to-5 or whatnot. So, you know, I kind of got burnt out. You know, I wanted to be a gym teacher at one point. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, once I did my first observations in the schools, I'm like, I don't want to be no gym teacher. Like, right. it ain't worth the money, you know, $35,000
to right.
watch some bad kids, so quote unquote,
right.
you know, it wasn't worth it. So I went into the community center, you know, it's pretty much more laid back. It's, you know, community center based sports and recreation.
Right.
I did that. And then for about 5 years, I moved up to management. And then I just saw myself just get stagnant, you know, mm-hmm. personally.
Right.
I'm like, I can do more than this, but my paycheck ain't saying that. You
right.
know, so that's when I started to tap into my entrepreneur mindset. You know, I started reading books, thinking right. Grow Rich, you know,
right.
The Science of Thinking Big. All these Napoleon Hill books, Damon John, like all these great entrepreneurs, like it's all about mindset and freedom.
Right.
So that was my mindset. I wanted my freedom. So I left Parks, ended up going to being a firefighter.
Okay.
So now I'm a firefighter. So
okay.
with the firefighting, you're working 9 to 10 days a month.
Right.
And you off 20 days, the other 20 days. So in essence, totality, you're working maybe 90 to 100 days a year, and you got 2/3 of your time back. So
right.
they gave me the time to work on what I want to do. So as I'm thinking, like, through this whole time, I'm like, you know, what makes the most money with the less amount of effort?
Right.
So sales, you know how to sell.
Right.
And in 2018, I met with my mentor, who everybody knows, you know, Guidance Whiskey, my mentor Jason. It was just about 6 months off the ground with Guidance. You know, I just asked him, man, like, teach me the game. I want to come up with my own drink. I don't know what I want to do, but I want to learn the whole ropes of it. So the next for no money, the next for no seed money, like, bro, just teach me. Like,
right.
I want the knowledge. And so from 2018 on to now, I just learned the game about whiskey and bourbon and, you know, just spirits in general. And so I decided, you know what, I want to do a bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was sitting in a cigar bar one day, just writing my thoughts. You know, if you don't put nothing on paper, you're not intentional about it.
Right.
And so in 2020, the pandemic hit, I went ahead and got my LLC, got all my license and all that stuff. But beforehand, I was going to whiskey trails, bourbon trails, like just trying a whole lot of whiskeys and bourbon. So I tried, in this whole process, over 200 bourbons and whiskeys.
Wow.
You know,
you was doing your research.
Yeah, so I was doing my homework.
Yeah,
so
doing your homework.
Once I got, you know, educated on it, it was an easy transition to, like, go ahead and make your own. So
right.
I knew what taste I want. I knew my palate. I knew what everybody would enjoy. It wouldn't be, you know, something that it's just this one crowd can enjoy.
Right.
Everybody can enjoy.
Right.
Because I know everybody's not a bourbon or a bourbon drinker, but like this bourbon is totally different.
Right.
Yeah.
So I want to go back a little bit, man.
Okay.
Let me see. How was growing up in Memphis, man? Like, did you see entrepreneurship? Did you catch that bug, or was it any inspiration from back home that led you, or that you can think of that, you know what I'm saying, that maybe led you to believe too, like I can be entrepreneur, or that didn't exist.
As far as like the specific entrepreneur, it didn't exist.
Okay.
But the hustler mentality, the get up and grind every day and go get it, that was everywhere.
Right.
Like Every city got a hood.
Right.
So you seen people like on the corner working, hustling and all that stuff. Like I seen that, but I didn't want to go that route. Cause that, like, it led to either jail or knowing something
dead. What was your support system around that prevented you from going there? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, sometimes it's either, it's either somebody like, Michael, you don't need to go that route, man. Focus on this. You better than
I was,
this.
Like, I was never like attracted to it.
You know,
when I was growing up, I always wanted to play ball and hoop. I only went to three places in Memphis.
Right.
The house, school, and the gym.
Right.
So I was in the gym 25-8.
Right.
So just working out every day, playing ball, you know, not letting the distractions distract me.
Right.
Like, it was never like, you know, I want to go out here and see what this is. Like, I was never about that.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I probably would have took you back in the day in the basketball. Nashville don't get our respect in basketball, man. They give it all to Memphis, man. Yeah,
I mean, it's the hotbed. We just built different. You know?
In Memphis,
is on every corner. It's a church and a gym and an outside court.
It's about here too, though. It's about.
I don't know.
Y'all just blacker than us. That's it. Like, that's it. That's y'all just got more black folks in the vicinity in the city than we do here in Nashville. But it's all love. That's all love. And so, man, when I look at your story, man, even behind the bourbon, your family had a big inspiration, in particular, like your mom, man. Can you tell us about that inspiration and that background and how you intertwined that with, you know what I'm saying, your bourbon?
Yeah, so when I learned about spirits is, we're storytellers, you know, from distillers to brand ambassadors, brand creators, even bartenders to that extent, you know, we create a story. And so my story is, back in my childhood, I was like 10 or 11, like sixth grade. So everybody remembers what happened on 9/11. You know, I was in sixth grade of middle school. I didn't know what was going on. Like, they got every TV on CNN.
Right.
I see the tower. I'm like, okay, whatever, you know.
Right.
So I think we got out of school early that day. Everybody went home. And all you see on the TV was 9/11. So at that point, I didn't even think about how it's going to affect me. So my mom is retired Army Reserve. And she got called to be deployed to Maryland. Mm. And so at this time, you know, I'm thinking this is probably about another 8 months or so after 9/11. So we're talking around about like March or April sometime.
Right.
Didn't think it'd hit me like that. So she sat us down and she was like, you know, I'm gonna be gone for a minute. I'm gonna be deployed, you know.
Right.
My brother George, he had to take over the house, you know, at 15, 16. So you go from normal childhood, you know, everything cool, outside playing, see your mom every day, she pick you up, she cooking you food every day, till now she gone for like almost about 18 months or so, somewhere around there. Like, you don't see it at all. So mind you, it's no FaceTime.
Right.
It's no Skype.
Right.
It's no video. It's none of this. Like, I don't know if I can hear your voice and that's about it.
Right. Or a letter.
You know what I'm saying? So playing all that through the whole time, like me and him together. I got a baby sister. She stayed with my godmom in Texas. And she was about 5 or 6, somewhere around there. So she just now starting school.
Right.
And so you got all these dynamics going around, and you know, it's I'm 12, 13, my brother 16, 17.
Right.
He stopped playing football, he going to get a job. So like now we went from going being regular kids to like actually practicing adults and then all this stuff. So
right.
That whole journey, you know, it was challenging. You know, me and him had a whole bunch of disagreements, a bunch of arguments, but my mom ain't here to mediate it.
Right.
So it's just clash, you know, it's every day. And that whole process, you go through a lot of adversity.
Right.
A lot of trials, tribulations. You know, we had aunties and uncles that was around, but for the most part, it was me and him. And then when he would be working, you know, I'd be with my cousins, you know, kicking it with them. But for the most part, he doing parent work.
Right.
So you see that going on. And now fast forward to now, it's like, as an adult, I'm able to navigate through these waters now, adulting, easier right. because I practiced it at 11 and 12.
Right.
And so, like, the word reverence is what that means is I pay homage to my childhood, to who I am today.
Mm.
So that's the story behind reverence.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that's deep, man. Yeah. And that's also inspirational, man, to be able to connect a product, man, connect something that means something to you to your family, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And your upbringing and pay homage to it. So it's like, it's different. It's like giving that to one of your family members is different. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is a story of us.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you got that bottle, whether you never drink it, like this represents the story.
That's what it represents. So going back to like what you said about Memphis, you know, being distracted with the streets and all that. For me not to have my mom, or nobody, it's just me and my brother. Like we grew up in South Memphis. Now that's a big neighborhood out there. You know what I'm saying? So growing up out there, and not falling into those traps,
right?
And to become what I am today,
it's amazing.
It's amazing, you know.
Yeah.
But like I said, I was never attracted to it, but I was so used to being vulnerable and seeing it, and not have an adult to be like, hey,
right? And as kids, as youth, you know, you can be easily influenced.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So
exactly.
Even if you don't want to, you know, you might got a friend or two. Come on, Mike, man, come on over here, man. Like, I'm getting this money, I'm doing this, and all it takes is one day, just one decision,
yeah.
And that can change the whole trajectory how life goes.
Yeah,
man. I gotta ask you about this too, man. Because of the socioeconomic kind of stigmas and narratives around alcohol, liquor, and black folks.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think about that any when you thought about, you know, I want to provide something that's black owned, something, but that's for everybody,
mm-hmm.
but something that I know that kind of disproportionately affects, you know what I'm saying, people that look like me a little differently than other folks community wise.
Yeah.
Did that ever cross your mind? Did you ever think about that?
I didn't, but what I did was when I wrote out who's my target audience, who's my target market.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't know the characters of bourbon.
Right.
You know, it's not something you shoot, it's something you sip.
Mm.
You know, like we used to be growing up in college. It's all about turning up shots, you know,
right.
making this run, hunch, punch, whatever.
Right.
This ain't that.
Right.
You know, this something you chill, you drink, you know,
right.
and just mellow out. You
right.
know? So I never thought about, you know, how it affects our community or whatnot.
Right.
But in my mind, I'm like, you know, I want to provide a product that's good. You don't have to drink a whole lot.
Right.
You know,
you can change the narrative around.
Exactly. You know, it's a celebratory thing,
right.
not a thing where we got to do this every day
right.
over and over and over.
Yeah, but and I think that's important too, man. Just because we know, like, I know they did like a census, like analysis, that like liquor stores are like disproportionately like located predominantly in black
mm-hmm.
communities, right? And I don't think that's by accident. So it's good that one, if we own the brand, and two, we can have a message in there on how we should be consuming the bourbon or the whiskey
yeah.
or whatever the alcohol brand that
yeah.
it is with our face, because we understand
yeah.
and know kind of how it's being pushed on our community. It's been different than other communities. So, man, I appreciate that.
Yeah, because I'm very selective on where I put my product. You know, you don't put it in
right
these small like deserts or whatever where people like, man, I'm gonna abuse it. You know,
right.
I put it in select bars, select, you know, liquor stores in certain communities.
Right.
You know, to where like, all right, this is a very quality product.
Right.
I'm not gonna buy this every day over and over and over.
Right.
That's how you get alcoholism. You know what I'm saying? You get alcohol addiction.
Right. And you know, if you're an alcoholic, you're an alcoholic.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is, right? And so they might not care about the story. They may make them drinking more. Like, let me at least I can be an alcoholic. You know what I'm saying? With a good story that I'm drinking, right? We have started to see in the entertainment world a lot of our entertainers, whether they're actors, actresses, music artists, what have you, start like lines of their own kind of liquor, alcohol, man. Have you faced any kind of barriers, you know, trying to, you know, get this bourbon built up, man? Whether it's financial barriers, whether it's racial barriers, you know, pushback from certain stores not wanting to carry your liquor because of how you look like.
Yeah.
Have you faced any of those type of diversities, or what diversities have you faced?
So, starting out, you have to find a distillery.
Okay.
So, it wasn't many distilleries that wanted to contract and distill my idea. And so,
why do you know why, or?
So you got some distilleries that won't name and rights. You got some distilleries that do white labeling. So what white labeling is it's their product, you know, from another product they have out that's their name. They just slap your brand on it, and they get a percentage off of it.
Okay.
Then you have some that will create your product, but they got to put their name on the label somewhere to minimize your brand name. So I didn't want to do none of that. You know, I wanted to be 100% control of
everything.
So this one distillery in Nashville Craft, they decided to contract and distill me. You know, they made the juice for me. They let me pick out what I want to taste like, everything. So the barrels I wanted, all that. And like my label, this is my label. You know, the only thing by law I had to put on it is where it's distilled and bottled. So at the minimum, they get their recognition, but it's not Nashville Crafts, Reverence Bourbon. It's, this is me all
day. Reverence Bourbon, front and center, distilled in Nashville.
Exactly. So I wanted that right there. So that's one of the barriers. Another barrier was the pandemic, of course.
Right.
So when I did my business license and all that, you know, people was working from home. So from getting my licenses, instead of waiting 2 and 3 weeks, I'm waiting 5 to 6 months, you know, to get my actual wholesale license.
Right.
It took like 9 months, like almost over half a year.
Wow.
So just sitting there practicing patience.
Right.
You know, trying to figure out like what's the next move.
Right.
And it's out of my control because, you know, we're in a pandemic, so people not processing things as fast and smooth as we are in the regular world. So I learned patience just through that, and then also production, you know, supply chain.
Right.
Like it took 3 months to have my label done.
Wow.
You know, and everything about it, it's from the city. So I had to wait 8 weeks from a company in Old Hickory just to get my label and production done because supply chain was backed up. They couldn't get the material. They couldn't get the ink.
Wow.
So if we was in a perfect world, the world would have had Reverence probably a year or two earlier. We just cut out supply chain issues.
Right.
So just sitting there, man, and like trying to ease my anxiety, you know what I'm saying? It's like, man.
But you know, you're like, man, I know it's ready,
yeah,
but
I can't do nothing.
You can't control. Yeah,
can't
it's
control
out of your control.
It's out of my control. So those are the main barriers right there, man. And
the
pandemic.
Did anybody give you any pushback as far as like, nah, Mike, man, why you want to do a bourbon? Like, you know, are you going to be able to sell that? Or was it like, you know what I'm saying, just go ahead and do it, dog. Like, you know what I'm saying, we fully support you. We going to champion this.
Yeah. So it was more so 50-50. Like, first of all, like, what's my price point?
Right.
And No, it's $64.99 on the shelf.
Okay.
And they like, man, that's too high. You should get your brand up. You know, you need to charge $29.99. So I was like, bro, I'm here to make money, not fit nobody's budget.
Right.
You know, if you can't afford it, it's not meant for you to drink.
Right.
And I'm just being real.
Right.
And so I tell people, like, believe in your product. You know what you put into it.
Mm-hmm.
This is 4 years of work.
Right.
You're not finna compromise what I've done to get to this point.
Right.
I know my worth.
Right.
You know, that's the number one rule in entrepreneurship is know your worth.
Right.
Get paid for your worth.
Right.
And so going forward, I was like, you know, I'm going to charge what is value, is true value.
Right.
And they was like, well, how you going to sell something that's so expensive? I know my market.
Right.
You know, you got to have a marketing plan.
Right.
And so all these questions I've already written out when I was in the cigar bar,
right,
how I'm going to do it, you know.
Right.
So what you telling me, I worked on 2 years ago.
Right.
You know, so it's just pretty much having a vision,
mm-hmm,
writing it out, whatever the naysayers say, whatever, you know.
Right.
I appreciate you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
At the end of the day, I appreciate you.
Right.
That's why I'm going to keep going. So
right.
On the other side, I had my small circle I got. They always like, man, when it's coming out, when it's coming out, you know, I got you, you know, because
right,
we're going through this, then the third, the supply chain.
Right.
And they just give me positive energy just to keep me grounded. Like, you know, they know what I'm going through.
Right.
They know it's a process.
Right.
So it's, I had both sides coming at me, but I mean, it leveled itself out, you know.
Yeah, nah, man, that's good to hear, man. I think that's also important. Like, you got to, that's that confidence. You know what I'm saying? You can't let, regardless if it's somebody that may love you, you can't let that person deter you from what you believe what you're doing is right. Which can be hard to do sometimes because we don't want to believe a lot of times that, okay, this person, I know they've shown that they care for me. So they wouldn't tell me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, like, they not telling you wrong. It's more so like they just telling you from the lack of their own perspective.
They lack of confidence.
Yeah, and they lack confidence.
It's the fear of failure.
Right.
You know, in life is about numbers, continuous failures over and over and over until you get that first win.
Right.
So it's really not a failure. It's just lessons learned.
Right.
So I can sit here today and tell you, till I got to this point, I failed for 4 years straight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, setbacks, right, audibles.
Right.
Pivot this way, where I got to use this company, or
right,
they don't have my glass, so I got to go to this company to get the glass for a cheaper price. So
mm-hmm,
it's always lessons learned and failure. So as far as people that have doubt or have a confidence thing, I use this analogy I got from Steve Harvey. You know, only way a flower grows, you throw more dirt on it.
Mm-hmm.
The dirt is the fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are constantly throwing dirt on you, that's how you continue to keep growing.
They fertilize you.
They make you stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come out that dirt, that blossom and the fruits you growing now,
right,
they came from them throwing that dirt on you.
Right.
So I tell them, bro, just let them keep throwing dirt on you. It's going to make you better.
What does this mean for the community in Nashville? Because if I'm not mistaken, is this the first?
It's the first black-owned Tennessee bourbon.
Tennessee bourbon.
Yeah.
What is, man, did you know that going into it? Or is that something you discovered, like, as you was putting it, like, you know, doing your 4 years of research, putting it together?
Honestly, I didn't figure that out till when I got the final product.
Mm.
So to educate everybody, all bourbon is whiskey, but all whiskey is not bourbon.
Mm.
So you got a small pocket called Tennessee whiskey, which is Uncle Nearest and Jack Daniels.
Right.
And so everybody knows the story of Uncle Nearest, how
right,
he, you know, gave the recipe to Jack, the number seven recipe, and Nearest was a slave.
Right.
So he's just now
getting recognition
for creating the Tennessee whiskey. All right. He's dead and gone. I'm here.
Mm.
The first Tennessee bourbon, black owned.
Right.
So this is modern day history being made.
Right.
If people want to know what's the difference between my product and Uncle Nearest, it's only one distinct thing. It's the maple charcoal filtration.
Okay.
Uncle Nearest has that, mine doesn't. So that distincts Tennessee whiskey and Tennessee bourbon.
Mm.
So that's the only difference right there. So,
well, look, man, I want to be one of the first. Well, I might not one of the first, but I want to just tell you, man, and give you your flowers, man. Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, congratulations, man. And I hope people that's watching this and listening to it really understand, like, the historical, like context of, like, what you're doing, what you've done, and, like, and where that can go. And I'm glad you did it here in Nashville too, man. Yeah. You know, because you could have done it. You could have done it in Memphis, but you know, hey, people from Memphis come to Nashville to be great. You know, so but nah, man, because you know, being a native Nashvillian, man, I just think that's it's just amazing, man. And knowing like we can do these things too. Like, I think subconsciously most of us probably, you know, pair, you know, whiskey and bourbon to white folks. You know what I'm saying? Or to white faces, right? In a sense, so it's, man, it's good to one, have the first black-owned bourbon in Tennessee, and then have it distilled right here in Nashville. Well, it's a lot of black history, you know?
All right, so the glass and the style of the bottle is called Nashville. All right. My printing company is here out in Old Hickory, you know, right past Mount Zion.
Okay.
All right. My designer is in Nashville.
Wow.
So, of course, the distiller and the bottle is from Nashville as well. So everything about my product is Tennessee, Nashville, right. And I'm from Memphis.
Right.
You know, so this is a holy grail, so to speak, of the state.
Man, so that's amazing.
Everybody don't know that. You know, when I tell the story, like how I created, like I want to make it 100% Tennessee.
Wow.
You know, from the founder to the production to the material
to the label the cork in
there. All that, you know, I wanted to make sure everything was from Tennessee.
Wow, even a little plastic part on the
Man,
you making me proud to be, you know what I'm saying, Nashvilleian right now, man.
Man,
that's amazing, man. Mm-hmm. That's so what's been the kind of feedback you've been getting from it, man, from the city?
So it's, for the most part, everybody's liked it.
Okay.
I haven't got not one bad review. You know, it's a very, very appreciative drink from both, you know, male and female, black and white, you know, young and old, which, you know, that's a little, like, that pretty much hit my goal, like, who's my target audience. I want it to be for everyone can drink.
Right.
You know, most women love cocktails and, you know, mixed drinks or whatever. Well, you can really drink this straight up or on the rocks.
Right.
And it's very little bite. The finish is clean.
Right.
And, you know, it's very, has a lot of flavor.
Right.
A lot of flavor.
Man, what's next? Like, collaborations, man? What's like business-wise, man? Because when I seen it, I was like, oh, man, I gotta reach out to him. Because, like, this ain't something that you see all the time, and when you do see it, it's people that you can't really touch and reach out to,
exactly,
or may not be right in your city, because again, like, we might see celebrities, entertainers, it's like, okay, well, they got the hundreds of millions and dollars or whatever, cool, like, whatever, and they, you know, but like, having somebody right here in your home city that's doing it, I feel like, man, I had to take, you know what I'm saying, the opportunity to talk to you and understand, and want people to support, you know what I'm saying?
So, my motto is, slow and steady wins the race. I'm not gonna get too far ahead of myself. I'm not gonna be too far behind on something. So,
right,
me being, you know, the main energy behind it, like, for y'all to call me, I appreciate y'all calling me, because I like doing podcasts.
Right.
So this is step one,
right?
Exposure.
Right.
You know, hitting these different media pockets to get the name out there.
Right.
Social media, you know, it's my main thing right now. I got a lot of followers.
Right.
I'm a very tangible person.
Right.
Before I started doing this, you know, went to TSU.
Right.
I'm part of a fraternity.
You got a big network.
You got a big network already, so
right,
the buzz is there.
Right.
You know, I just got to supply what the demand is looking for. So,
right,
I mean, it's gonna grow organically and naturally, as opposed to.
Man, how can people place orders? Is it particular stores that you're in right now in the city? Can I order a case online? How does that
work? Right now we're in about four stores right now.
Okay.
Liquor stores.
Okay.
We're in about six or seven on premise, which is called bars and lounges.
Okay.
About six or seven of them. So On the black owned temp, we in Plain Jane.
Okay.
We just got an account open at EGMC. We're looking to reach out to Minervan Weekend to supply our people. But we in Casa Monte Cristo.
Okay.
Cigar Lounge, where I held my launch party. And I got to tell you about the launch party too. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And also Sinker's Beverages and Main Street Liquors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what happened at the launch party, man?
So
how was that? Because that's the come out. That's the
yeah. So another rule: relationships are worth more than money. So I was looking for somewhere to do my launch party. So mm-hmm. I'm in Casa. That's where I wrote out the business, the vision in Casa. And so the manager, I let him try a sample. He was like, "Man, we ain't gonna get this." I said, "Well, we still in the stage of getting bottles and material." He was like, "Man, we really want to have this in here. You know, once it gets it going, you know, run it back by me." So fast forward to we got the bottle. He was like, "Man, you found a place to do your tasting?" I'm like, "Nah, not yet. Now I'm looking for a distributor." So he connects me with my distributor.
Mm.
So I met the distributor face to face, you know, real man to man convo. I tell him what I want to do. He was like, "Man, we're ready to sign you," that day.
Wow.
So relationships. Do that. We get 2 weeks out. We just pub for a week of the release party. News called me. He sent me with the news, all this. So it's now it's like a big fiasco. Like I did like 100 shares on Facebook when I dropped the news link.
Wow.
On my own account.
Right.
And so the day of the event, I pull up late, as usual. I pull up late, you know, and it's like packed wall to wall. Like it's at capacity 30 minutes in.
Wow.
And I'm like,
The city, man.
They told me, like, you know, we got about three cases. They sold out of them three cases.
How many come in a case?
Six.
Wow.
So
you know that wasn't gonna last long.
But three cases is a lot of alcohol.
That's a lot of alcohol?
It's 18 bottles. But they had already like put some out for, like the week before or whatever. So let's say about 10 or 12. So I had a display table with three bottles just for display to read up on and all that.
You had to get them that.
To keep the party going. You know, we probably like an hour left in the party, so they had to take my display and supply.
Hey, you know it's on when you got to sell the display.
Yeah, so it was like, "Hey, we out." You know, it's cut. So that day, like, they sold out everything, man. So
congratulations. It's like, that's big, man. And congratulations to the city of Nashville, man, for coming out and supporting and showing that love, man, because, like, that's what we need, because we have the influence here, we have the money is here, we have the people here, the products are here, man, and now most of the time just about showing up for folks.
Showing up, yeah.
And I'm glad Nashville showed up for you, man.
So it was, I envisioned it, you know, but once you see it, like, come full circle, you just got to sit back and just put it.
Why wasn't I there, man? Dang, come on, now. Didn't nobody tell me about this?
Man, you just put it on perspective, like, you know, it's just step one.
Yeah.
You know, it's only the beginning.
Yeah. Like,
if this is the foundation of what it's supposed to be.
Right. It's a hell of a foundation.
Yeah,
it's a strong foundation.
Exactly.
Man, golly, man. If this was like Drink Champs or something like that, this would be clapping in the background and taking shots. Drink Champs got to get, your liquor might be on that table. Man, you know what I'm saying? They might be taking shots to it sooner than later,
yeah.
Dang, so that's big, dog.
Yeah, so, like, after all that went down, like, my phone ain't been the same, bro. Like, I gotta get a Google Voice.
Man, now. Look, like, man, I'm glad that I got the interview now then, because I might not have been able to get you.
For sure.
And when you do, first of all, the next launch party, when you do your next line, what is that called when you do another, like a version, or what is that? Is that a line? Is it just called like a line of liquor, or?
Talking about another brand.
Yeah, another brand. Like, yeah.
Or another product. It'll just be like a sister product.
Okay, so when you do the system, I'm at the launch. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. A VIP.
Hey, you let a secret too. How you know I was doing a sister product?
Hey, man, look, man. Hey, hey, look, man. They be talking out here, man. They be talking out here, man. You know? Hey, they be talking out here. Yeah. But now I'm at their launch. Man. I'm at their launch party. But dang, man, that's big. And I'm just really glad that to see like this Black Renaissance is happening in Nashville, man. And all these great folks, all these great products, and taking advantage of the growth that's coming here, man.
Yeah,
and to be the first, you know. And it's not about being the first. It's like as far as like the first one to do it per se, but like being the first and doing it right.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. which I think is different.
Yeah,
you know, we all remember when Microsoft dropped the Zoom. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Before the Apple dropped they MP3.
Yeah.
Zoom didn't work out. They was first, but it wasn't right.
Yeah, it wasn't right.
Apple came with that MP3, you know, this MP3 player.
The iPod.
The iPod.
Yeah.
They did it right.
Yeah, so.
And now everything is an iPod.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, everything was like, whether it was an MP3, everybody called it iPod.
Yeah.
Man.
So, yeah, what's really going to make it hit home is... Once I hit Memphis, hit that market, it's gonna be that's when it's really gonna like resonate because I done bring it back home now.
Right,
and that's
where the story connects.
Yeah, that's where the story connects. So right now they licking their chops, bro. Like I can't even front.
But he did it here first, Memphis. So let's, so y'all gotta wait. Y'all gotta wait, Memphis.
When I come home, we gonna go hard for sure. Yeah, for sure.
But now, man. Man, anything else, man, you want to just leave with the people, man, around your product, around what you're doing, and just how it brings community together, man.
And it's, so my circle, it's a lot of influencers, you know.
Right.
Quiet is kept. I'm with a minority-owned alliance called T-Mosa.
Okay.
Tennessee Minority Owned Wine and Spirits Association.
Okay.
So there are brands made here people who live here in Nashville that have brands went to TSU, local Nashville citizens, you know, and we have an alignment of Black owned brands.
Mm-hmm.
Guidance Whiskey, Twisted Sisters Wine, La Hacienda Mascal, Fiore Vodka, and also Disbelief Tequila, which is out of Memphis. So we have a vodka, whiskey, bourbon, mezcal, tequila, and wine, all Black owned, that's here in Nashville. So
that's big, man.
That circle alone, you know, we're making this movement to like push minority owned brands and move as one.
Right.
So you got a lot of like families like the Bacardi family, which they got Patron, Angel's Envy, Bacardi, like they got their own family, you know, and those are big major brands. So like for us to start something synonymous to that, and all be minority owned.
And it's a family.
It's going to be something big. Like I advise everybody support every brand I just named.
Right.
You know.
Don't wait till it's too late.
Yeah, don't wait till it's too late, because when everything goes up, you know, all our supporters coming with us.
Right.
You know, and we got to support our own.
Right. Man, Michael Dahl, this has been a pleasure, man. I learned so much.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad, man, I had the opportunity to get you before you went too high. And just to champion what you're doing, but also learned a little bit about the history of bourbon and just your bottle is Nashville.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think like that's the biggest, like that this is Nashville we looking at. In a bottle. You know what I'm saying?
In a bottle.
Nashville in a bottle. And so, man, if people want to reach out to you, man, like how can they contact you if they wanna you know, host an event around your bourbon, talk to you, order some bottles, you know, to supply their part. Like how do they contact you?
You can reach me on Instagram, Reverence Bourbon. You can subscribe to my website, reverencebourbon.com. You want to buy merchandise, I got hoodies, t-shirts, sweatshirts. You can get on the website as well. Online ordering will be soon.
Okay.
That'll be probably next month or so. Okay. So be on the lookout for that. And also, if you want to contact me personally, you can go on my personal page, Instagram, LeBrunJames_, and Facebook, I have Reverence Bourbon as well. So those are my media outlets. If you want to contact, I'm not hard to get to. If I don't respond immediately, it's because I got 100 more people I got to respond to, or I'm out saving lives for the fire department. So that's my spots y'all can contact me on, and I'm not hard to find. I'm not hard to talk to, so I'm very...
Don't try to put out fires with the bourbon.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, it's speeding. You know, yeah, don't do that.
Hey, man, Michael, man, I appreciate your time, dog. Glad I got to have you back, man, when that sister line come back.
Okay.
And, you know, whatever we can do here to support you, man, you know, hey, you got another supporter, another media outlet, and, you know, you got another community platform that's going to support you and champion what you're doing, man.
Man, no doubt. I appreciate y'all taking me on and being here, man. Deep Dish Convos.
Hey.
I like the name.
Yeah, man. We gotta have some liquor with the piece in there. Coming soon.
Yeah.
Man, appreciate it, Michael, dog. And then, till next time, man.
Till next time.
Bit.
All right.